Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. It is 2021, and we are entering a new year, and we have the moms out there doing it all, So I'm so happy we have a mompreneur here this morning who's a mom. She's going to school. She's working full time. She's just doing the thing. So I'm happy to have Ms. Lynette Correa Velez here today. And she is the Assistant Director of Career Development at Northeastern Illinois University, NEIU, located in Chicago, Illinois. And as a trained career coach with over 16 years of professional experience in career coaching and human resource development, she's trained over 15,000 multicultural and intergenerational learners in over 21st century career readiness topics. Lynette identifies as Puerto Rican. She's a first generation high school and college graduate from Boston, Massachusetts. And Lynette has received over 13 awards and honors for her passion in co-empowering individuals and groups, both in person and virtually through partnerships. Lynette is a career coaches with a diversity, equity, and inclusive and intersectional lens, where she is now a third year doctoral student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in the diversity, equity, in the diversity and equity in education, with an emphasis on human resource development program. She lives and works now remotely due to conditions surrounding COVID-19 in Chicago with her husband and her four-year-old son. I am excited about having Lynette here. I already call her Dr. Lynette. We're speaking in
You don't have to do that but I appreciate it.
That she is Dr. Lynette. So, if you all don't mind, I'm going to continue in that vein of calling her Dr. Lynette, because she is working on her EDD right now. I know some people will have challenges with that, but I'm putting it in context. Because we want to be an affirming people and affirming sisterhood in terms of speaking people's goals into existence.
Welcome. I appreciate that, Dr. Houston.
Hi, Dr. Lynette. How are you today?
I'm doing blessed and being blessed and favored, feeling very blessed and favored in this 2021 year. It's January 6th, and I, received some amazing national news that will impact us in multiple ways, not just politically. So I'm excited about our future.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the sun is definitely shining brighter today in Georgia. We are happy here. We just got a Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock
elected Amazing.
To the Senate, and we are excited about that. We are waiting for the results. Just to tell the audience where we are right now, we're still waiting on Ossoff. By the time this is published, we will know who the Senate is, but we are just excited about Reverend Warnock. And I'm glad that the sun is shining over there in Chicago too.
Absolutely. I mean, we're watching it intently here in Chicago, particularly because Chicago is such a political city. And so it's kind of like within the city culture. not just, you know, in regards to local news, but national news, and of course, international as well. So, you know, for me, you know, I want to sort of honor this place in our history, not only in our history, you know, in my home, as a Latina, as a mom of color, you know, I'm married to an Afro-Latino, and we have an amazing Afro-Puerto Rican son. But for Black and brown communities in general, right? And the impact of these sort of decisions that are made on the local arena and national arena in politics. But I'd like to think about it in a way that really makes me think of who I am as a researcher, as a practitioner, and some would call an emerging practitioner, researcher, you know, activist, scholar. And so I wanted to at least name it in our podcast today, because it is history. I mean, it is very, very historical. So, but it's not what the podcast is about. So,
we can stay there for a minute. You know, I'm a historian. That's what my PhD is in. And awesome. This is a wonderful moment to celebrate. Understanding the history of the South, understanding the history of Georgia, understanding the history of what African Americans and Latino Americans and the wider American community has been through these last 4 years with an assault on various different others, as we would call them, of Americans. We've been in a dark place, and thank God the light is shining today. The light.
Amen. That's right.
And we've done what we were supposed to do. We engaged politically in this particular, if you will, war battle for who America is. We made the decision that America is going to move forward, and we're not going backward.
And that's so right.
I'm delighted, and I'm thankful that you started our conversation off today with acknowledging this moment.
Yeah, and very intentionally acknowledging that Black women have been taking the lead in regards to the change that's happening right now. Obviously, the change that's been happening for decades, if not centuries, by the way, historically speaking, when I can name all sorts of people, including present company, Dr. Houston, but definitely now as well, and collectively and intergenerationally, intersectionally. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch, I must say.
Yes.
But tipping my hat to my fellow sisters, African-American, Black identified sisters for sure.
Well, thank you for shouting out us individually and collectively. Black women have truly made a difference. There are a lot of organizers on the ground, a lot of organizations. And as
that's right.
You stated, this is not just in this moment. This is an effort that's been going on for years and generations for
that's
us
right.
to get to this moment. So we recognize the ancestors and their hard work today. We recognize all the great women who have been here in Georgia and been here, been doing the work nationally, locally, and nationally. So thank you for acknowledging these wonderful women. And we know that it was a Mrs. Jones or Miss Jones, I don't know which one it is, who whispered in Congressman Jim Clyburn's ear. Who enabled us to have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the executive in the White House. And that was this woman who Many did not even know her name until now.
That's right.
Until Representative Clyburn discussed what motivated him to go public and doing an endorsement. And so, to your point, it's a lot of women. So thank you
for sure.
acknowledging those the Black women who have been passed the torch and are continuing to.
Hold to up. Light it up.
Yeah.
Continue to light up the torch, Dr. Houston. You know, yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. And Dr. Lynette is going to be speaking about being a diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging, which is also the acronym is DEEB, career coach, mompreneur, and going to grad school in times of COVID. So she has a lot going on, and she's going to talk to us about her life story and how she can inspire by doing being engaged in all these areas, how she can inspire other mompreneurs to go forward and do what your spirit guides you to do and accomplish in this lifetime so that you can live a fulfilling, prosperous, and joyful and rewarding life and career.
For sure. Yeah, no, thank you for that, Dr. Houston. So, you know, currently, as you mentioned, I do have a permanent full-time job. It is in career development and higher education here in Chicago, Illinois. But I have been career coaching now for actually this past November is 17 years.
So before you go into your professional career, I meant to ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us our audience who Dr. Lynette is.
Ooh, child. I am the oldest of four children, you know, fourth generation, first female born in a matriarchal family. You know, my mom was the first in her family, you know, born, you know, her mom and her mom before her. So I think a lot of the strength that comes from, you know, not only my own ancestors, you know, and my mom really comes throughout my veins. And now that I have a son, you know, it's really forced me to not only be the feminine feminist that I am, but to do it in a way that is an holistic way towards how I role model my matriarchal ways to our son, so that he grows up to also be an amazing, hopeful, civically engaged, social and racial justice oriented, male identified person, let's say that. And that's important for me because we need it all. We need each other, even though patriarchy is real. And patriarchy is one of the reasons, a very big reason, that there's an outstanding gender pay gap between men and women in all industries, by the way. So I'm taking my career coach lens. But I think as a mom, it really influences me, and particularly a hashtag boy mom. and I really appreciate that because I'm also married to a man that understands who I am, loves who I am and what I bring to the table, sees my light and wants to support me in bringing it out. Right. And I think that's really important as well, to be with someone that, you know, I mean, he's my greatest cheerleader ever. And we are that to each other. And I think that's important to have that two-way street love and support and partnership.
Yep. Isn't it great to have a liberated man as a husband?
Oof. It's And for whoever is listening to this, it really does matter who you're partnered with, right? I am a very ambitious, very self-motivated, very self-disciplined woman. And I can be strong at times.
like many of us.
That's okay. You know? And that's okay. I mean, you know, he ain't scared. You know, and I appreciate that, because then we get to be that to each other, right? You know, he's an Afro-Latino, very strong male, very self-motivated, very self-disciplined, and strong and ambitious individual, and we feed off each other on that. And it just depends on who you are as a person. But you know, I was born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts. At a time where a lot of Puerto Ricans were living and working and residing and getting schooled in the Boston, Massachusetts area. My mom, as a matter of fact, when she was pregnant with me, she was actually the secretary to the CEO of the Puerto Rican Movement Forum in the South End in Boston, Massachusetts in the late 70s, early 80s. And I always tell her that, you know, the fact that she was in that space while she was pregnant with me was a phenomenal influence. But I think she herself is a phenomenal influence. Unfortunately, you know, she has not had the level of access and support that I've had. I think if she did, she would definitely be a doctor, a medical doctor at this time. She has been an amazing essential healthcare support worker for over 32 years in the Boston, Massachusetts area medical district. You know, I always say I was raised by a nurse, even though she, again, never had that support, that mentorship, that sponsorship. And her focus was my three younger siblings and I, the four of us, most especially after my parents' divorce, 24 years into their marriage. You know, she continues to amaze me, even to this day, that she is now surviving her second diagnosis of cancer. And I mean, I can't think of a better role model and mentor than my mom because of that. And many people say that about their moms, but I think this one, you know, my mom is quite special in that sense. Because, you know, I'm grateful that she's been able to mother me the way she has as a very strong, strong-willed, independent New Yorker. She was born and raised in, you know, she was born in Puerto Rico, but raised in the Bronx, New York City, and in the 60s and 70s and during the Civil Rights Movement. And, you know, my grandmother was a very Pentecostal religious woman at that time. She still is, I must say. But my mother, you know, she had that very rebellious spirit, if I can say it that way. And, you know, at that time, you know, Latinas were not supposed to be rebellious. And that was, that part of her was shunned. But my father at the time saw that in her and embraced that about her at that time. And so I was raised in a two-parent home. And I'm going to say this because of the socioeconomic, low socioeconomic background that, you know, I'm from. That was a privilege. You know, that was a privilege to have both biological parents together and married and in the home. Although we socioeconomically were in the housing development, the projects of inner city Boston, Massachusetts. You know, I am a first generation high school and college graduate. Sometimes I say per birth order, but I think it's also because of my parents really coaching us. They didn't have that word at that time, right? But really coaching my three younger siblings and I to love ourselves enough to use education to make a difference in the world, right? So it's not just you need to do better than me, you need to go out and get an education, but really using education as a way to ignite our servant leadership.
And that's it. That's it, because, you know, in our communities, our parents really make a difference for us in the professional and personal trajectories we have, because many times, to your point, your mom didn't have mentorship and sponsorship. And many times, even today, we don't have access to mentors and sponsors. So it's our families and our communities who really guide us along the way.
That's right.
Get us to pursue an education, and also, moreover, not using our education just for individualistic purposes.
That's right.
But really, what are you going to use that education to do in terms of service? And so that's a great segue for us to go in and talk about your work as DEIB. Again, that's Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging, a DEIB career coach. Tell us about your work in terms of mentoring young people, and what advice would you give for people out there, whether they're just in the community, meaning, you know, their parents, or community members and organizations, leaders of organizations or servant leaders out there working with young people? What advice would you give them to help the process of encouraging students to attend college, particularly students of color, other students who may be white students who are first generation students who need assistance in terms of developing their career goals and personal and professional goals? So tell us about your work, and then give us pieces of advice for those our listening audience.
Definitely. So when I first started out in career coaching over 17 years ago, like many industries, it was very patriarchal. It was, you know, the old white male person that had access, right? And so being a career coach of color, particularly female, career coach of color at that time was very new. And so I would walk into spaces throughout the Northeast area and courageously walk into spaces and introduce myself at that time. What the language I did not have at that time was that I always centered diversity, equity, and inclusion, and belonging, but it just, again, it wasn't that wasn't the language 17 years ago. I wanted to bring about that language now, not only because it's becoming a hot topic in higher education and beyond, but I think the time is now that career centers need to center diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging to holistically career coach our undergraduate, graduate students, and alumni.
So can you expand on what you mean? Expand on what you mean by holistically coaching? Our audience.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So for anyone that's been to college, and if you've ever used a career center, your experience most likely, not all the time, but your experience most likely is very transactional, right? I'm coming in, I need help with my resume. I'm coming in, I need help with my cover letter. I need help with an interview. I'm looking for an internship. Very, 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 very transactional. And yet, career development departments, I believe, have an amazing opportunity to do more, to be more for and with our undergraduate, graduate students, and alumni. And the higher ed institutions that center their career development offices get it, but those are few and far between. And so we're really missing the mark in stopping the sort of transactional career coaching experiences for our students, and really providing transformational career coaching experiences for and with our students.
So how does that look differently in terms of holistic career coaching versus the transactional one? What does that look like? What are you doing differently than those career coaches that are just more transactional?
Yeah. So I do a lot of things. One of the ways is being in my doctoral program. As you mentioned, I'm doing my EDD, I'm a third year doctoral student in diversity and equity in higher education, specifically with a focus in human resource development at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And there I'm able to do research. And my doctoral research is in DEI and career services and higher education. So I can't mention too much, Dr. Houston, because, you know, I got to put it in my dissertation. Mm-hmm. but I think, again, there's an opportunity to learn about the history of diversity, equity, and inclusion to make a further impact in our career coaching, in career development offices in higher education, particularly to our first generation and or students of color with intersectional identities, whether that student identifies as LGBTQ plus, as undocumented or documented, as with a different ability, or sometimes all the above. And so I think if career centers are more hyper aware on how they provide that transformational, or how can they provide that transformational career coaching experience for and with our students, we'd have not only really satisfied students, but more students that would utilize career centers in higher education and more employers.
That makes sense. So just reading in between the lines without you being explicit is really about helping the students to embrace their own identities, and their own cultural experiences, and using those tools to provide them with their own ways of self-assessment to determine what careers would be best for them.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for that. And because we know that students come in with different experiences, different knowledge, different cultures, and that one size fit all in terms of career coaching doesn't work for every student. Students of color cannot afford to do unpaid internships for a variety of reasons.
That's right.
And we can't expect them to do so. And that's just one example that I'm just throwing out there. So I'm sure you're making a big impact on students, as we stated in your bio, the number of students you have helped and programs you have had. So let's move on in our final minutes of this conversation, move into, being a mompreneur as you go to school and as you go attend graduate school and having a full-time job as a DEIB career coach. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you balance your work, balance all of those roles as a woman of color, and most of the time all women have to balance multiple responsibilities.
That's right.
And so what is your experience with that, and what advice would you give our audience?
Yeah. It is not for the faint of heart. it definitely is not, but I love my life, right? And for me, how many hours do I have in a day? How many days in a week? How many weeks in a year do I have to make a positive impact in the world, right? And that has been so outstandingly explicit and clear for me, particularly when I had my son. How do I want to show up to my son in this world? How, you know, what role model do I want to be to him? How he also influences and teaches me on a daily basis about, you know, being present and being aware and self-love and loving unconditionally. You know, for me, my power word is love, and that's the center of it all, quite frankly, in all the hats that I wear and all the roles that I pay, both paid and unpaid monetarily, because I get paid in other ways, being, you know, a big sister and a mom and, you know, a wife and all the other hats that I wear, community member. I think also there's an opportunity to, for me, I want to do the as much as I can in the best way possible in solidarity with, you know, individuals in my home, outside my home, for as long as I can, you know. And the experiences these past 2 years that I've had with, you know, almost losing my mom to cancer now twice has made that vividly clear for me. You know, being a mompreneur, I actually have been thinking about this for a few years, and having my own institute, with all the years experience and training and education that I have, and literally just this past week, decided to take a risk and, you know, as some individuals will say, be courageous.
Yep.
And start.
Yeah, be courageous and bold.
Coaching Institute.
Yep. I love it.
Just this week. And it's going to be twofold, where I get to certify and have a certification program in inclusive career coaching for those that believe in being a deep-centered career coach. Whatever hat you wear, whatever space you play, whether it be in the K-12 space, in higher education, and for-profit or nonprofit. And then I also have the group career coaching for individuals that are like, no, I don't want to be a deep-centered, inclusive career coach as a career, but I do need it, right? As a professional, entry-level, mid-level, or executive-level professional, or retiree. And yep. So... I think, you know, it depends on what you want to do with your life and how you want to fulfill your purpose. But for me, I'm able to fulfill my life's purpose through the medium of career coaching and entrepreneurship.
I love it. And looking at your institute, are you going to house that at a particular institute of higher education, or is it going to be a standalone institute?
I think I'm able to make a bigger impact as a standalone online institute, because at the end of the day, I'm also all about access, and the topics around diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging are topics that many institutions are still grappling with themselves.
Correct.
And so I think as a standalone institute, I'm able to make a bigger, wider impact in the way that I want, in a manner that is authentic.
I love it. Congratulations on launching that this week.
Thank you.
Conceptualizing it this week. And we would love to hear more about the Institute once you get it going and moving forward. You are
definitely
always welcome to come back on the Empowerment Zone to talk about the Institute and tell us all about how we can be involved. And I'm always here for you anytime you need me and my support.
Thank you.
Making it happen. Please let me know. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Lynette. We look forward.
Thank you. I'm grateful. Humbled.
Thank you. Hi, we have Dr. Lynette Correa Velez here, and I'm calling her Dr. Lynette because she's currently working on her EDD. And so we're going to go on and claim it, name it and claim it for her. She's a third year doctoral student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in the diversity and equity program in education with an emphasis on human resource development. And so we are excited about having her here today, particularly because she's in higher education and she's a career coach. So, and she has this diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging lens in terms of helping young people find their careers. And I shouldn't say just young people, because she does coach alumni of the university as well. So what we want to ask you, Dr. Lynette, at the end of every segment, we always ask, what is that one piece of advice you would have for college success? So I'd like you to tell us what schools you attended, what your majors were and degrees were, and then give us that one piece of advice for college success.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to name that I am a first-generation high school and college graduate. I think that's important to say, because I think there's many of us that are out there that are both first-generation high school graduates as well as first-generation college graduates. I ended up getting a full scholarship to, at the time, it was called Lesley College. Now it's called Lesley University, as they have acquired a couple of other universities in the Cambridge and Boston, Massachusetts area. So I am a Boston gal. But I came from a high school that was an examination school, which in the Boston public school system, it is considered sort of a privilege to take an exam, you know, earn a high score, and then be accepted as accordingly. And it was a math and science high school. And as a student of color, that, you know, was, those were topics that I always have loved. I've always loved math and science at that time. Now I love the math and science of people, but I'll go back. You know, I ended up going to Lesley College, Lesley University. I graduated with my BS in human resource management and business management with a minor in psychology. From there, I worked and started a couple of companies in between the 12 years of work experience that I had. And then I finally, after receiving four different certifications through the empowerment of my husband and support, I finally applied and got accepted to attain my MED, Master's in Education in Human Resource Development, with a focus in management of e-learning for workplace learning and training, back in 2016. And that was very forward thinking for the university to have that topic in e-learning and ed tech, since, interestingly enough, in 2021, we are definitely all about that now.
Yes.
But I've always been an early adapter of technology as well, since I started working at the age of 14 to attain a beeper, a pager at that time. And then I graduated from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, U of I, with my MED, and then got married, had my son, and applied and got accepted for my doctorate in diversity and equity in education with a focus in human resource development. So hopefully I'll be a double alum of U of I within the next 3 years. And, you know, I'm a lifelong educational advocate and really see the value in education, but I see the value in education in order to serve, right?
That's it. It's all about service. It's all about serving.
All about
serving the community.
That's right.
What great piece of advice do you have for our students? I know you've got plenty of advice, but what is one piece of advice you give students to ensure their success?
I would say know your personal and family history, as that has been extremely influential for me to ask my parents questions, to ask my extended family members questions about their lived experiences, so that not only I learn from their mistakes, but I learn from their successes.
That is great advice. That is absolutely spectacular advice, because a lot of times we don't have to make the same mistakes if we just listen. And plus,
and in communities of color, we don't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in communities of color, we don't have that conversation. We just live life.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and also because when you know those life experiences, it motivates you to do even better because you see the struggles your parents may have gone through, or your grandparents or great-grandparents. So it makes you not want to take your educational opportunities for granted.
That's right.
So thank you so much, Dr. Lynette, for joining us today. And thank you for that great advice.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.